A shard of ice seemed to pierce Harry's heart. "I don't believe it. Dumbledore loved Harry," said Hermione. "Why didn't he tell him to hide then?" shot back Aberforth. "Why didn't he say to him, 'Take care of yourself, here's how to survive'?" "Because," said Harry before Hermione could answer, "sometimes you've got to think about more than your own safety. Sometimes you've got to think about the greater good. This is war."
"You're 17, boy."
"I'm of age, and I'm going to keep fighting even if you've given up."
"Who says I've given up?"
"The Order of the Phoenix is finished," Harry repeated. "You know who's won. It's over. And anyone who's pretending difference, kidding themselves."
"I don't say I like it, but it's the truth."
"No, it isn't," said Harry. "Your brother knew how to finish you-know-who, and he passed the knowledge on to me. I'm going to keep going until I succeed, or I die. Don't think I don't know how this might end. I've known it for years." He waited for Aberforth to jeer or to argue, but he did not. He merely scowled. "We need to get into Hogwarts," said Harry again.
"If you can't help us, we'll wait till daybreak, leave you in peace, and try to find a way in ourselves. If you can help us, well, now would be a great time to mention it."
Aberforth remained fixed in his chair, gazing at Harry with the eyes that were so extraordinarily like his brother's. At last he cleared his throat, got to his feet, walked around the little table, and approached the portrait of Ariana.
"You know what to do," he said.
She smiled, turned, and walked away. Not as people in portraits usually did, out of the sides of their frames, but along what seemed to be a long tunnel painted behind her. They watched her slight figure retreating until finally she was swallowed by the darkness.
What?
Began Ron.
"There's only one way in now," said Aberforth. "You must know they've got all the old secret passageways covered at both ends. Dementors all around the boundary walls, regular patrols inside the school from what my sources tell me. The place has never been so heavily guarded. How you expect to do anything once you get inside it, with Snape in charge and the Carrows as his deputies? Well, that's your lookout, isn't it? You say you're prepared to die."
"But what?" said Hermione, frowning at Ariana's picture. A tiny white dot had reappeared at the end of the painted tunnel, and now Ariana was walking back toward them, growing bigger and bigger as she came. But there was somebody else with her now, someone taller than she was, who was limping along, looking excited. His hair was longer than Harry had ever seen it. He appeared to have suffered several gashes to his face, and his clothes were ripped and torn. Larger and larger the two figures grew, until only their heads and shoulders filled the portrait. Then the whole thing swung forward on the wall like a little door, and the entrance to a real tunnel was revealed. And out of it, his hair overgrown, his face cut, his robes ripped, clambered the real Neville Longbottom, who gave a roar of delight, leapt down from the mantelpiece and yelled,
"I knew you'd come! I knew it, Harry!"